Another Israeli show features an insufferable heroine. What's wrong with that? From Israeli dramas to HBO hits, female characters are still punished for traits men are celebrated for. By Lilach Volek. The prevailing sentiment among viewers of the new Israeli series All Moms Lie is that its main character is, to say it lightly, insufferable. And who likes insufferable people? Well, all of us. We all have insufferable people in our lives we love. Yet we don't necessarily want to see them on our screens. And if we are willing to make an exception, and accept an insufferable character, we would much rather prefer them not to be women. We fall in love with female roles that are graceful and usually also beautiful, witty or charming. We also expect them to be nice. Now, more than ever, women who aren't nice, unlikable, surly, cranky, are taking center stage. They're not even trying to be nice. And whatever they get, love, success, money, luck, doesn't depend on their niceness or derive from it. In a recent interview with Haaretz, actress Maya Maren said of Eli, the character she plays in All Moms Lie, "I instantly loved her. She reflects certain sides of me, but in the extreme. I don't really go around like that, you know." She briefly mimicked Eli's constant scowl. "Maybe some people see me that way, but I don't feel that way. Now that I've seen the episodes, I'm like, wow, smile a little. What's up with you? Always hating people, hating interactions. So yes, it's part of me, but it's not that extreme. But it was a lot of fun to play. It must be fun to be freed on the need to be nice. And it's also understandable that Maren would want to distance herself from a character she portrays so convincingly. But is it really so terrible to be unlikable? Perhaps we've all internalized the idea that, for women, it's a serious offense, a trait for which characters must be punished. Being unlikable immediately marks them as suspect, hinting at something bigger and far more frightening. A bitch outside, a delight at home. Eli is not alone in her unlikability. On Israeli television, she is joined by Noah from Dismissed, played by Alona Sar Tarafrish, creator of Dismissed, also directed Khan's All Moms Lie, created by Yael Katz, Noam Nevo and Natali Mikhailshvili-Dror. Noah is a rejected war room officer, deemed unfit by her superiors to lead, until a plot twist puts her in command of a unit at a recruit base. Noah's unlikability marks her as antisocial, strange, and in any case, other whatever that other may entail. Would a male soldier who behaved like Noah seem so unusual? Or is the range allowed to men simply broader, without pushing them to the margins? As viewers and as people, we intuitively know the answer. When it comes to beloved, unlikable male characters, the rules bend far more easily. Tony Soprano, Dexter, Dr. House, Walter White, Don Draper, and of course, nearly every chef character since the turn of the millennium. We see them as complex, tormented, challenging. Accepting them takes little effort. They belong to a long and respectable tradition, the founding fathers of the charismatic anti-hero. Among them are Rick in Casablanca, Humphrey Bogart, Hawkeye Pierce in MASH, Alan Alda, Stanley Kowalski in A Streetcar Named Desire, Marlon Brando, and many characters portrayed by John Wayne and Clint Eastwood. Unlikable women are far less common. More often, they appear in comic roles or as supporting characters. Among those at the center, alongside Noah from Dismissed, whose unlikability seems less a choice than the result of social limitations, are the women written and portrayed by Dana Modon in Love Hurts and Significant Other. Modon's characters are acutely aware of the costs of not being nice, and have chosen to pay them. Whether to protect themselves out of misanthropy, or as a deliberate expression of self-worth, it's not a bug, it's a feature. And Modon never treats it as something to be fixed, as in the grand tradition of classic romantic comedies. Other women in Israeli television are usually allowed to be imperfect or flawed, and they're allowed to make mistakes. Vered in Happy Place, played by Noah Cooler, seems physically incapable of not radiating sweetness and warmth. Israeli series rarely challenge viewers to love a female lead who lacks anything that invites sympathy. If she's a bitch outside, she's warm-hearted at home. If she's tough, it's only because she's fair and decent. We're encouraged to look for, and find, the hidden side she reserves only for her loved ones, and the viewer, who immediately becomes both loving and loved through identification, clings to that softness beneath the hard shell as if discovering a hidden treasure. In productions outside Israel, there are, of course, unlikable female leads, but not as many as one might expect. Samantha from Sex and the City, Nancy from Weeds, Hannah from Girls. In recent years, more have appeared, the protagonist of Fleabag, nearly all the awful women in The White Lotus, Amy in Beef, Beth Dutton in Yellowstone, and Shiv Roy in Succession. The list is still short, but longer than it once was. The great-grandmothers, or godmothers, of these characters are nothing like the respectable figures embodied by rugged male stars like Clark Gable, John Wayne, Marlon Brando, and Clint Eastwood. The four mothers of these unlikable women are dangerous, vengeful, or outright unhinged, women whom society has cast out, or on the brink of being cast out. Think of extreme figures like Baby Jane Hudson and Whatever Happened to Baby Jane? Betty Davis, Martha in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Elizabeth Taylor, Norma Desmond in Sunset Boulevard, Gloria Swanson, and Nurse Ratched in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest? Louise Fletcher. The principle is clear, even self-evident: if you are not nice, then either something terrible happened to you, leaving you flawed and disturbed, or you did something terrible, and are therefore flawed and disturbed. There is no equivalent trade-off to the one granted to men in fiction or in life, where one may be an unbearable jerk so long as one excels at something else. And so we get the familiar prototypes: the abusive but brilliant chef, the sociopathic but brilliant doctor, the alcoholic detective who is a nightmare to his family yet the only one capable of solving the case. The genealogy of unlikability is thus inherently tainted by madness, misogyny, and social marginalization. At a basic level, women were, and still are, required to be socially appealing. The appearance of characters who are not obliged to be nice all the time, and are not immediately punished for it in the plot, is a meaningful form of cultural liberation. Nice to the point of self-destruction. In Bad Feminist, Roxane Gay writes that, when a girl is unlikable, a girl is a problem. This is what the culture we live in teaches us, the same culture that still asks, without a hint of irony or self-awareness, why aren't you smiling? It is also what its artistic representations reinforce. According to Gay, in many ways, likability is a very elaborate lie, a performance, a code of conduct dictating the proper way to be. The question of likability, Gay argues, implies that characters should not be a reflection of us, but of our better versions. The moment filmmakers, showrunners, and writers, especially women, freed their female characters from the emotional labor of being nice, likable, pleasant, and user-friendly, it became possible to speak of truth and authenticity, and, in turn, expose the elaborate lie Gay describes. This becomes clear in the character of Dina in All Moms Lie, brilliantly played by Egon Rudberg, the complete opposite of Eli, played by Marin. Dina wants only to be loved and accepted. She is nice to the point of self-destruction, sacrificing authenticity and living a lie. When she fails to be nice, it is not because she is secretly otherwise, but because she momentarily loses her grip on the mask she works constantly to maintain. Dina is genuinely charming, she is simply a victim of her own niceness. And when she frees herself from that niceness, by ignoring calls from her emotionally abusive husband, by kissing a stranger, she begins to understand what she loves. She rediscovers herself. The inauthenticity of compulsive niceness becomes clear as an emotional burden, a drift away from healthy instincts, a surrender of the right to defend oneself, the obligation to smile even when one wants to scream. Characters should not be our better versions as women. Perhaps when there are enough images of ordinary women, not magical, not distorted, just women who are not nice, then the revolution can truly move forward.